And we'll also be looking at Revelation chapter 15. So Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to read just one verse once again. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And then Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15 and verse number 3. It says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And so today we want to consider the idea of God's ways being the ways of truth. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray you would, this day, that you would teach us of your ways, that we would walk in your paths. Lord, just guide us into your truth. Help us to know what we should do, and give us the strength and the courage to fulfill your will. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the verse there in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, that's been really the focus of what we've been looking at this year. And it is our desire that we would truly learn of God's ways, and it's so that we would walk in his paths. It isn't we just do our thing and we do everything our way and we hope God would bless it. That we rather seek to do things God's way and know that he will bless it as we do so. And as we look into God's holy word, we find that he lays out his ways to us very plainly. It isn't something where he's trying to hide it or obscure it in any way. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we will see these things quite plain. And as we see them, we recognize too that his ways are definitely worth following. It isn't something where we look at his ways and, well, that's just a bad way to go, that's not something that I would want to do. That no, we look at this as his ways are much higher than ours, and they're something that we should strive to attain to. They're very desirable for us. They're only for our benefit if we follow them. But as we look at them, that's what we kind of have to say. Well, why wouldn't we walk in God's paths as we understand what they are? And why haven't we already been walking in those paths ourselves? And we recognize the reason is it's because our ways and the ways of this world in which we are in, which always kind of tend to conform us to their ways, those ways are so divergent from God's ways. And as we follow those ways, we are the worse for. And so we want to learn his ways. We want to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed as we renew our minds, as we see this is the way that we are to walk in as God lays out. And so last week we considered it from the idea that the ways of God are the ways of righteousness. And that's what he wants to lead us in, is the paths of righteousness, where in all our ways that we walk with integrity, we seek to be holy as he is holy, we avoid even the appearance of evil, that's the way that we should walk. But this week we want to consider not only that God's our ways are the ways of righteousness, but that God's ways are the ways of truth. And the God of the Bible declares himself to be the one and the only true God, that all other gods are false gods. And we recognize him to be the God of truth, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 32, a verse we read last week as well, but there's much encapsulated in that verse. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, it says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." that he is the God of truth, that truth is something that defines him, truth is something that belongs to him. And he is the one that we can count on, the one that we can rely upon. We think Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come in the flesh. What did he declare? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That he declares himself to be the truth. And that people are to trust in what he is and what he has to say. And just as God is the God of truth, we recognize God's word, what he has given to us, to be true. To be the truth. That Jesus himself, he said to his Father in his prayer in Gethsemane, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And we recognize God's word that we have today is God's truth. It is the absolute truth, that it is inerrant, it is infallible, that we can rely upon it. It's been given to man by God, by his inspiration. It wasn't just the words of men of what they thought God believed. It was as God spoke his word to their hearts, and they were able to write down what he gave them. And as such, being the inspired word of God, we know that it's absolutely trustworthy. From Genesis to Revelation, that we can wholly rely upon all of it for guidance throughout our lives. It helps us to understand our origins. It helps us understand our purpose. It helps us to understand what God expects of us. It helps us to know how to interact with one another, how to live, and how to what to pursue after in life. But there's so much that it gives to us, and it's God's truth. It declares us the way that the world truly is, and in many ways it declares to us things that we wouldn't grasp ourselves, of understanding the spiritual realm, understanding that we do have a God and who he is and what he is like, understanding that we do have an adversary, the devil, that we need to be aware of, that it shows us the truth. It is the truth. And it is such a blessing and a help to us that with so many things in this world that we cannot rely on, we can know that God's word is reliable, that it is truth and we can trust in it. But we recognize he is the God of truth. We recognize his word is truth. And as well, we recognize that all of God's ways are truth as well, without exception. And we saw that in the verse that we read in Revelation chapter 5 or 15, verse 3, that that just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. That we know that his ways are truth. We see that spoken of in the Psalms as well. Psalm chapter 25 and verse number 10, where it says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. That there's not an exception, that some of God's ways, some of God's paths are truth and others are falsehood or deceptive or anything like that. There is no deceit within God. There is no variableness or shadow of turning. It speaks in Hebrews chapter 6 of how that it declares that God, it is impossible for God to lie, that he cannot tell an untruth in any way, shape, or form, that would violate his character, violate his holiness, that he is absolutely reliable in his character, in his word, and in his conduct. God is absolutely trustworthy. And we recognize that none that put their trust in him have ever been ashamed for having done so. It isn't something where God promised something and was not able to deliver, or change his mind, or misrepresented himself in any way, that what he says he will do, that his promises are yea and amen. And we rejoice in that he is the God of truth, that his word is truth, and that in all his ways he is truth as well. But in contrast to that, we recognize that the way of this world is not at all the way of truth. Rather, the way of this world is the ways of lies and deceit and deception. That from the scriptures we recognize Satan to be the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air that now worketh in the spirit of children of disobedience. We see what Jesus said of him in John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 8 and verse 44. He said of them, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." That we think of it, that in God there is no lie, there is no deceit, no deception of any sort. But in the devil there is nothing but lies, there is no truth in him. That he is the liar and the father of lies. And in Revelation 12 and verse 9, we see him being described as the one that deceiveth the whole world. And we realize that. He continually seeks to turn people from the truth. He continually seeks to attack and discredit the truth of God and convince people to believe his lies to their own destruction. And to accomplish that, we realize that he sends out many false prophets into this world to turn people away from the truth. He sends out many different winds of doctrine to try to turn people from what is right to what is wrong. We see Jesus himself warning in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15, where he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Ones that seem to be fellow believers, seems to be ones that you could trust, that instead are predators that are seeking to devour someone else through false teaching. We see the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 give a warning as well. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." That it isn't something that just because someone names the name of Christ that we don't automatically assume that what they're saying is true, that we have to test it based on the Word, based on the truth of God's Word, to see, does it measure up? Does it fulfill what God's Word says? But then we see as well the warning of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and he says, 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And sadly it says, verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And sadly what happens with so many is that they come with the guise of Christianity, but with these false doctrines that they bring of error mixed in with truth, it makes the way of truth be evil spoken of. That it causes people to judge the truth based on the falsehood and the repugnance of this false teaching that they are attaching to the truth. And so we see that really the devil's plan in this is really twofold. He's trying to get as many people deceived as he can to turn them from the truth, and then he's trying to misrepresent the truth so much so that people will turn from it in that way as well. And he's seeking to accomplish that. He's working in this world to do that. And we have to recognize that. We have to be aware of that. But while it's clear that the devil is hard at work in this world to deceive, we also need to recognize that the reason why he is so successful in his endeavors is because we in our sinful, rebellious state are often more willing to accept his lies than to rest upon God's truth. That we see it spoken of in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And that phrase there, that they hold the truth in unrighteousness, that the truth is looked at as an ugly thing, as an awful thing, as something they want nothing to do with. And it's actually the word hold, the connotation of the Greek word from which it's translated has the idea of to hold down, to suppress. That they don't want the truth to come up to light. They want to put it down any time that it is brought forward because it convicts them. It demonstrates their unrighteousness, and so they want that to be silenced. And we see what it says there as it continues, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them that within themselves there is a witness, what we call a conscience, that demonstrates that there is a God, that there is a standard of right and wrong. And in verse 20 it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That seeing the world in which they live and what has been created and how it has been created, that it demonstrates that there is a designer, there is a creator, a God who is masterful, who is full of wisdom, but is also full of compassion as well. And so they are without excuse, but it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And we see in verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That they the truth that they should value, we see that mankind so often pushes away, and they make God's truth, they say that that's a lie, and then they take the lies of the devil and they declare those to be the truth, because they're more comfortable. They fit with what they want to be the truth. And so we see it's a very dangerous road that they head down, and it leads to their destruction. But so many, generation after generation, follows in this pattern of holding down the truth, not wanting to hear the truth of God's word, even though that it would be life and health to them if they accepted it. We see in Isaiah chapter 59, passage is really speaking about Israel and the situation that they found themselves in terms of their wickedness. But we find with it as well that it can very much have a correlation with what we believe as well, or what we see in front of us in our society. We see in verse 4 where it says, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That we see that that's the situation that we find in, that no people are really seeking that there would be justice in this world. It's always what can we get away with. And nobody pleads for truth, that they'd rather be willing to accept a lie, and they trust in vanity, things that aren't going to help them. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. But that's where we find ourselves in. We see as well, verse 14 and 15 of that verse, it says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. That it's this idea that truth that should be valued, which should be held up, is cast in the street and trampled underfoot. That people don't want to hear the truth. And truth faileth. That people trying to find the truth have a hard time. That we think of that even nowadays, that there's such a problem nowadays that they recognize of the idea of fake news, where there's these different reports that are given, and then soon you find that those reports are totally false, that you have these allegations that are made and you find that there's no actual substance to those allegations. That there's so much that even to try to watch the news and try to decipher what the truth actually is, it's so very difficult nowadays to do that. And we just see how truth is so devalued, it is cast aside by so many that people often want to make their own reality, what suits them, what fits with what makes them feel good. And there's that one saying, if you tell a lie long enough, soon everyone starts to believe it. And really, you think of that in so many aspects of life, in terms of our origins, in terms of morality, in terms of our interactions one with another, that essentially our world today says, well, the Bible has been proven wrong, that it's just a book of fairy tales, it's not worth believing, it should be cast aside. And no one has ever truly proven the Bible to be wrong. That is, the fact is that they have rejected the truth and instead embraced the lies that the devil has offered to them. We see in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 15, that there's this promise of judgment. It says, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, and when the overflowing spirit shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. It says, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And so many people today, that's what happens, that they make lies their refuge. They believe in things that aren't going to help them, that they might have this idea, well, I can get to heaven in the way that's right for me, that you might have a different way to get to heaven, but this is my way and it's going to be acceptable. And not understanding that, no, there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. And we can't just pick our way, we can't change things and say, well, God's just going to accept me the way I want Him to accept me. No, He's the one that makes that call, and we have to submit to that. And so we see that so many do that they make lies their refuge. And it's sad when you see so many people of dealing with mental health issues and sometimes bringing themselves to a point of just needing kind of intervention and treatment for it, that a lot of times there's a reality that they want to accept that isn't true, and it gets to be that they can't handle what's actually in front of them, and they create their own little world within them to try to cope with that, and it doesn't help them at all, and it just makes things worse, and it's not a real help in any way. But we see as well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in this passage it's quite significant because it's speaking in terms of judgment that is to come. It's speaking of the latter days, speaking of the one we would recognize to be the Antichrist, and he's the wicked one that would be revealed. It speaks of in verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2, but it says verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. In verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And it says this, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That they were given the truth, it was offered to them, they refused to receive it. They would not accept it. And it says in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's the sad thing, is that so often God gives people the truth, and they don't want it, that they reject it. But then as soon as a lie comes along, that they accept it without any kind of questioning or challenging it, because it's what they want to hear. And they accept this lie, and accepting that lie leads to their destruction. And the judgment comes because they refused to believe what the truth was. They had pleasure in unrighteousness, that they would rather hold on to the lie and be destroyed by that lie than to submit themselves to the truth and be delivered. And it's just such a sad thing to see, but we recognize it happens over and over again. And it will happen in those latter days. But we recognize with it that the problem lies within us. That it speaks of in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That our own hearts are deceitful. That many times we deceive ourselves. It speaks of that in James 1 verse 22, where we're hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. That it says that when we do that, we deceive ourselves. And it talks about that as well in 1 John, where we say that we love God, that we have no sin. It says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That we do that times where we're in this mode of self-deception, that we're telling ourselves what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. We're changing the reality in order to make us feel better instead of allowing God's word to do its work to bring conviction so that we can be transformed and forgiven. That again and again we see throughout this world that people make up their own reality, what's true for them, that there's this thought that there's the only absolute truth in this world is that there is no absolute truth. And logically that doesn't even make sense, but that's what a lot of people think, that you can't say that there is one truth for everyone, that everyone has their own version of it, and we have to accept all of them. And again, that doesn't make any sense. But that's what we see accepted as being the truth. And we realize that the world is going to believe its own lies right to the very end, that judgment comes, and at then the truth will be revealed, but by then it will be too late. And we see in back in Isaiah chapter 28 of how they said, well, that lies would be their refuge and their falsehood, they'd hid themselves. But it says verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And it's just this picture of how they're building all these things up and these refuges of lies, thinking that it's going to protect them. But it's a picture that God brings this cornerstone, who we recognize to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the truth, that he sets him down. And then it talks about judgment will I lay to the lion, righteousness to the plummet. That the whole idea of it, that God was going to be building something himself, and it would be based off that cornerstone. And it's the idea of showing where these lines go. And we have that in construction today. We don't use plummet or plumb bob as much anymore, but we have a lot of other things designed to show what is true up and down, what is true horizontal. And it's that idea that line is laid out, and anything that is not in accordance with that lie is going to be taken away. And that is the truth of it, is that God is going to bring his truth. He's going to bring in Christ as his cornerstone to show what his truth is, what his standard is. And all these lies that man have made, that they have trusted in, are going to be swept away. And so we have to recognize, as his people, that God is true, that his word is true, and that his ways are true. And because we are his people, we need to learn to walk in his ways, that his ways need to become our ways. So if his ways are the ways of truth, then for us, in all of our ways, we need to walk in truth. We read that this morning as we began in Psalm 119. We read a passage there, but just before that, in Psalm 119, verses 29 and 30, it gives these words. This is a prayer of the psalmist. Says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. That there is a way of lying that is the way of this world. And the psalmist is praying to God, remove that away from me. I don't want to go down that path anymore. And then verse 30, it says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before thee. And so it is a choice that we have. The way of this world is the way of deceit, the way of lying. And we say, I don't want that to be part of my life anymore. That instead, every day we have that decision to make to choose the way of truth and to walk in the ways of God. That in everything that we do, we need to be truthful. We need to be honest. We don't want to give any kind of false pretenses. We're not trying to be something that we're not in order to try to impress people. We're genuine. People see us for what we truly are. It speaks about in Romans 12 and verse 17 that we're to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That it is the idea for us as believers that we go out of our way to make sure that we are entirely above board. That there is nothing that a person can look at and say, that seems kind of shady. No, we make sure that things are laid out clearly, that people can know that there's no dishonesty in any of our business dealings or in anything that we do, that we're try to be as honest as we can, as we must be, and that we turn away from deceit. That and it's not something where we try to misrepresent ourselves or present ourselves as something other than we are. We just are who we are and are honest. It talks about in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. And it's a valuable verse in considering these things. It says that we have but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That it can be kind of a sad thing that sometimes, and I've seen it myself, where there's this thought where almost where we want to try to trick people into coming to Christ, trick people into coming to church, that we offer them kind of different things of entertainments, and then they get into the church, and then we present to them, oh, well, this is what we're actually here for, of sharing the gospel. We almost kind of trick people into to getting there so we can preach the gospel to them, and we realize that's not the way in which we should walk, that we want to be straightforward, that people don't need us to try to play games with them, that we renounce these hidden things of dishonesty. We recognize that God desires truth in the inward parts, that we want to have that trueness in our lives, trueness in our motives, that we're not helping someone in order to get back, we're just helping them because it's the right thing to do. That we don't walk in craftiness. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. We value it as truth, and we make sure that as we try to give it out, that we're being clear. We're not trying to twist it to make it say what we want it to say. That we're very careful as we handle that. That we need to be honest with God. That we don't try to hide things from Him. We don't try to pretend we're something we're not, because He knows the truth anyways. We need to be honest with ourselves. We're not trying to deceive ourselves to give us ourselves this idea that I'm more spiritual than I am, or that I'm able to handle this myself and I don't need God's help, or I don't need help from others. And we need to be honest with each other always, that we tell each other the truth, that we don't try to hide things. Because sometimes often what we do, we can be struggling on the inside, and then somebody will ask us, well, how are you doing? And we'll say, oh, I'm fine. When the fact is, we're not fine. And sometimes it's so much better if we're actually honest with someone and able to say, I am struggling. And so then they can pray for us, they can encourage us, and often we rob ourselves of help that could be offered to us if we are willing to be honest and explain that we do have our struggles that we need help with. And in many ways, we rob that other person of a blessing when we try to pretend that we're not struggling. And we need to learn to do that. It speaks of, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're to put away lying and speak truth everyone to his neighbor, because we are members one of another. That we want to learn to always speak the truth. We want to learn to speak the truth in love, but we do need to do that. That sometimes beating around the bush with someone isn't going to help them, but we need to actually be willing to share with them, okay, this is what you need, And I have to kind of lay this out, and it's because I care about you that I do this. That we learn to do that. That that people should know that we can be counted upon. They should know that our word is our bond, that they don't need to have some kind of agreement drawn up, that just a handshake agreement, they can know that we will stand for that. That they know that we're not hiding anything, because we have nothing to hide. That what they see in the everyday is who we are, even in the dark. That it isn't something where we try to present this impression that we're this perfect person, and then do all these things behind closed doors that are wrong. That we're honest. That people see us for what we are. That we need to learn to day by day to be guided by God's truth. To reject the lies that the world tells us. That there's so much, sadly, that we see as some of these different things come across that are obviously against the truth of God's Word and what God's Word teaches, that we find where there's believers that have to try to compromise and think, oh, well, there must be some way that we can mesh this idea of with what the Bible says. That it's like, well, we have this idea, for instance, of evolution, and so let's try to find a way to mesh this with what the Bible says so that we come up with this theistic evolution. Where, when we really understand it, the whole idea of evolution is diametrically opposed to all the principles of the Scriptures. Of how it has this idea that from chaos comes order, and the whole principle of the Scriptures is that God established order, and when sin came in the world, then chaos emerged from that. That in many ways the whole principle of evolution is this idea that the strong are to kill the weak, and that's how things progress. But we see the whole message of the Bible is that the strong died to save the weak and to deliver them. And so we need to recognize God's word as truth and stand on it, even though we might be mocked and scorned for it. But the fact is we have to stand on the truth, that the lies that have been laid out are not going to be any refuge for us, just as they are for other people. That it speaks of in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, let God be true, but every man a liar. That we need to be willing to trust God's word, even though we are going to be mocked for it, even though we're going to be made to appear as if we're foolish. Because we know that if we trust in this word, that is going to be worthwhile. We think of Noah, of how he preached of the flood that was to come, and he was mocked and scorned, and no one would listen to him. But then the floods came, just as he said that they would. That there was, he had given the warning for a reason, and no one had listened. And the truth stared them straight in the face, that they had made a terrible mistake, but by then it was too late. And that's what we have to realize, is that we need to not be shaken in our faith in God's word and in his truth, that we rely upon it and that we walk according to his truth in terms of how we view this world, in terms of what is right and wrong, in terms of how we interact with other people, in terms of what we value and pursue in life, that we are guided by his truth. But that is our desire, and we're willing to stand for the truth, and we're willing walk in his truth. And as we do so, we can know that we will be vindicated in time. Now we see the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 25 and verse 5, where he says, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. That's what we come every time we open God's word, and through each day, that we have that as our prayer. Lord, lead me in thy truth. That we have him guide us, that he can help us discern and decipher what is deceitfulness and what are lies of the devil, and that we know the true path to follow. And may it be our determination what is spoken of in Psalm 86 in verse 11, where it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. May that be our determination, that we would walk in His truth. That even though sometimes walking in His truth might be a very lonely walk for us, even though there might be many that forsake us, many that are carried away by these various winds of doctrine, but we rest upon the Word, we trust it, we rely upon it, that we know His Word is truth, we know that He is trustworthy, and His Word is trustworthy. And as we live according to His Word and to His truth, we know that we're not going to be ashamed for doing so, that it is going to be worthwhile, that we will see the results of our faith in time to come, that there will be a vindication as we follow Him. And so, in this, as in all the other ways that we have discussed and will be discussing, may God's ways be our ways, and let us walk in His truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We just pray, Lord, that You would help us to walk according to Your Word, walk according to Your truth. Lord, there's so much deceitfulness, so much to try to filter through, Lord, and we know that Your Word is the only guide that we have that we can trust. Lord, help us to rest upon it. Help us not to be moved aside from it by various arguments and those that might scorn us or seek to bully us into following what Your Word declares not to be true. Just help us, Lord, that we would live lives that are honest and truthful before men, and just help us, Lord, in this, that we would walk in Your truth. We just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.